Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
So the view was many conservative, Bible-believing teachers out there were teaching, I think, a false approach. You know, you just have to be real. You have to say, hey, I'm in need of the gospel myself every day. I need more grace every day. And if I can share that with other people, maybe that'll encourage them in their faith too.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome on in to the daily radio ministry journal known as Compassion Radio. You know, friends, we often talk about the long-lasting legacy that we share in broadcast ministry over the radio. And why not? After all, we're now in our 74th year. And still, we feel the best is yet to come. All of that to say, we're not the only voice that sustains such a long and distinguished on-air resume and presence. Today, our president and speaker, Bram Floria, is about to welcome a very special guest who's going to explain where his ministry intersects with ours on this remarkable timeline. Many of you will indeed recognize his voice, and for very good reason. Bram, it's all yours.
Friends, on Compassion Radio today is a friend of mine and a friend of this ministry's. You may not know his name from our broadcast, but you might know him from his home on the Haven broadcast. Charles Morris, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Bram, it's good to be with you. It's been a number of years since we've been able to spend time together, but it's good to be on today.
We've crossed paths a number of times in the years, and of course, in the airwaves, because the original Haven of Rest and the original Morning Chapel Hour, which later became the ministries that we lead today, were on the radio together in so many corners of this country that I know there are going to be listeners out there listening to us today and say, oh yeah, Haven, I remember that. There might even be stations where they're listening to both of us in the same day, which would be marvelous, because I love your programming. You've always been rich in music and devotion. Very much like the kind of original values that made the Morning Chapel Hour so much a mainstay of Christian radio back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. But now we're both in a new age facing new challenges, so tell me about it from your side.
Well, the history is rich. It does go back together, as you say, and I'm the fourth speaker on what started out as the Haven of Rest. I'm in my 18th year, but I never was allowed to meet the founder. He had already gone home to be with the Lord. He went by First Mate Bob. His real name was Paul Myers. He was an alcoholic. His wife had kicked him out. He had heard the gospel on a Sunday morning. He went into a church in San Diego. They wouldn't even receive him, and he went back to the flea bag flop house he was staying in. Those were names we don't use anymore, but were used and in vogue back then. And then this Gideon Bible experience. But I do remember Wilbur Nelson, the founder of the Morning Chapel Hour. I had come, and I attended his funeral, and I remembered that when I first came to what had become Haven. And it's kind of ironic because we started out as the Haven of Rest. There was this hymn that was sung at the beginning of every program, I've Anchored My Soul in the Haven of Rest. And my predecessor, the third speaker, the late Ray Ortland, when he was about, I think about 70, and was still the speaker on the program, said, enough is enough. We're getting too many calls that we're a retirement home. We're dropping the rest. And he was known for taking bold steps like that.
As good pastors must do sometimes.
That's right. That's right. But the interesting thing was we changed the name again, and that was after 9/11, because I preached, but I had never been a pastor. I would just preach in my church, was an elder, but my background was more secular journalism, Bram. A friend of Ray Ortland's suggested me to him, and when 9/11 came along, we had just started sending the program out by satellite, which was kind of unique.
Yeah, it was.
Before that, it had been CDs, I guess. And
I remember those days. In fact, I was the last generation of people that actually had to assemble reel-to-reels for some stations, CDs being pressed for others. And eventually, of course, we moved on to so many other newer and much more convenient technologies.
not that long ago. And,
no, it was not.
And so as a result of when 9/11 happened, I was in Indiana. We still had the music quartet, in-house music at that point. They had to drive all the way from Indiana back because, as many listeners will recall, every airplane over the United States of America was grounded. They had to land and not at the airport where they were trying to get to. They just had to get to the nearest airport and land. It was just incredible.
I remember just walking down the driveway at our property here in Texas with my then 5-year-old daughter and just saying, look up at the sky. What do you see? And she described the clouds and things. So what do you not see? And she had to think about that for a long time because we're near Austin, Texas. There's always sky trips.
Yes, yes.
And she eventually figured out there something was missing. It was quieter than it had been. It was an interesting time of reflection because it's like, honey, you're living in a time right now this week like we would have 100 years ago. Just take that in.
And you could call that a day in infamy. There's a lot of ways you could describe it. But the upshot was, for the radio ministry that I lead, within 2 hours of the second plane hitting the second tower in Manhattan, we had a new program up. Dang. And that was just unheard of at that time. And so we got back, and I called a powwow of our team, and what's our takeaway? Well, we changed the name. We left Haven. We didn't have the rest anymore, but we add the word today at the end. So here, since 9/11, we've been Haven Today.
And you have a certain immediacy and energy to your programs that I respect. It's still a devotional and music-filled experience, which is marvelous. But there's an edge to it, a reporting kind of sensibility that the 24-hour news cycle is still around us. But in this haven, within all of that cacophony in the world, there really is truth that will settle you right now. And that's an ethic that you brought forward in the way you produce your programs that I really appreciate.
Well, I think it's just where the Lord led us. You know, we most days record today what's on tomorrow. I wish we could be more real time, but we can't because we're on at different times in different places. So we have that deadline to get up on that satellite so that the different stations have it when they need it. I remember, Ram, when I left secular journalism and went to seminary, in those days, which is now a few decades ago, the preaching classes were taught so that you never revealed yourself. The preacher always had to, I'll use the word pontificate, although a preaching prof wouldn't have used that.
But of course not.
You had to instruct, you had to teach, you had to be a leader, you couldn't admit that you had ever failed, you couldn't admit, like the Apostle Paul, that you were weak, but Christ is strong. You know, you got to challenge people. Well, that wasn't me.
And it's not reality anyway.
Well, it's not reality. So the view was many conservative, Bible-believing teachers out there were teaching, I think, a false approach. You know, you just have to be real. You have to say, hey, I'm in need of the gospel myself every day. I need more grace every day. And if I can share that with other people, maybe that'll encourage them in their faith too. That's just part of what we try to do. Music, you know, we still have music, but we don't have an in-house music quartet and haven't for a number of years now. Times change. We took a lot of heat for doing that, but the board of directors told me you need to do something. Bram, by producing in-house music, we were losing close to $400,000 a year.
Yeah, that's hard.
And I know some people were very upset when we had to end that, but we either continued as a radio program, and we still use Haven Quartet music, some of the soloists once in a while, but most of the time we'll draw on the greater body of Christian music that's out there. We're not afraid to go old, but we're also not afraid to go new either.
Very good. Now, I'd like to jump into the issue of transitions because, as everyone on our program knows, this has been a big year of transitions for us as a ministry. It's now this month, my 1-year anniversary in the role as speaker and president, and it's been about 8 months since we've lost Norm. So, of course, our people have heard and reiterated that to us, that we really miss Norm. They are asking questions about how are you going to go forward now? What's the style going to be like? What can we expect of the future of Compassion Radio? So those are very natural questions and natural progressions, and they deserve answers. And I've been trying to take them personally and one at a time as people ask them. But we're also at that point of having developed a new mission statement. The board's demanding that of me because it's right for us to have vision that will carry forward with a priority list of things that are essential values and things that we're going to try to do on behalf of our Compassion Radio listeners and partners in the years to come. But those are not easy transitions to make. You've been through that. So I want to start exploring that question of following in the footsteps of these great men of God, not perfect, as you said, but genuine men of God who knew the Word and loved Jesus. You now follow them. Let's talk a bit about what it's like to be the one to now be, quote unquote, holding the reins and connecting with your audience.
That's a big issue, a big topic. And, you know, I'm 18 years in and still trying to come up with the perfect mission and vision statements. And you know, I always appreciate it when I'm at a board meeting of Haven Ministries and somebody wants the 5-year plan or the 10-year plan. And now I talk to enough management consultants, Christian and non-Christian, who say, you just can't lay that out. It's not so easy. You know, it sounded good 10 years ago or 20 years ago, but I guess the way I hear it from most people, and it seems to be borne out in practical experience for me, is you need a plan, you need a roadmap, but the signs are always changing, and there are always twists and turns in the road. There's a hurricane that's going to go along, and it's going to cause some big potholes or ruts, and or you're going to lose power for a while, and you can't anticipate that. You just have to walk daily with the Lord and say, all right, Lord, this doesn't seem like this fits the plan. What do you want us to do now?
Gonna sneak in here for just a moment, and we'll get right back to the program. But first, here's a word from Bram's wife, Sandy Floria, on the season of Advent.
Hi, this is Sandy Floria. As we move into the Advent season and the celebration of Christ's birth, we pause to reflect on the past year. This year, I have been reminded of the generosity of so many of you, our Compassion Radio partners. Thank you for your notes and emails of encouragement and prayer support for this ministry as we've gone through so much transition this year. Your words of support and prayer have been encouraging to us. They've encouraged us to move forward with our mission of bringing stories of hope and God's work from around the world. Compassion Radio does just that, and you've partnered with us throughout this year. It's been a blessing to us, to our family, and to the ministry. And now, as we look toward the new year, we want you to know we value your partnership more than ever. We are committed to bring you the stories of God's work around the world, but we can't do it without you. Would you consider continuing that partnership with us throughout the next year? Please prayerfully consider a generous gift for the ongoing ministry of Compassion Radio. Thank you, and may God bless you this holiday season.
You can reach us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or on the World Wide Web at CompassionRadio.com. In fact, our website recently underwent a whole new reboot. So check it out when you get a minute. We'd love to get your feedback. CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the interview.
All right, Lord, this doesn't seem like this fits the plan. What do you want us to do now?
It seems like when we talk about Moses, and we act like things are written in stone all the time, but even God had to write it down twice. The Ten Commandments were about the only thing that he committed to stone that stands the test of time. The rest of the things that really stand the test of time are the things that are written on living stone. In people's hearts, which are sensitive and willing to adapt to what God presents them. This generation is no different. Of course, we've talked a lot in our program about how quick the Great Commission could truly be wrapped up. That in the technical sense, that every body of people, every language group, every tongue on the planet could have the gospel in their tongue and be speaking it and sharing it with their tribe or country by the end of the century. It could really happen. But this is not something that is happening because someone declared an edict and wrote it in stone. It's because people were willing to be really flexible and go wherever God would lead them to the unexpected. And I feel like we're stepping off as a ministry into the unexpected again in 2018. You probably feel the same way.
Sure. Well, every year.
How did you personally deal with that?
Well, I hate as a Christian to use the word evolve, but I'll use the word evolve, Bram. It's a good word for sometimes to talk about what's going on. When I became the speaker and president of what was Haven, we were doing 3 minutes of teaching, 3 minutes of music. And I remember the late Ray Ortland coming in about a year after I had taken over, and we were having lunch one day and we tried to stay in touch. He was such an encourager to everybody, but also to me. And we'd put on a song that was like 6 minutes long.
That's a big change.
But then I had actually done a message that was 8 minutes long. And it wasn't three. And that was kind of radical, for its day. We really changed because the world changes. And we changed because we could. Because we could on a Sunday night, Osama bin Laden was assassinated. And I remember watching the announcement coming out of the White House, and it was going to come. And our producer and I were on the phone, and we said, you know, it's a big deal. We better change the program. So here it was, the middle of the night. We're changing the program again. And we don't do that every day, of course, but we do it often enough because Christians deserve to not only know what's going on in the world, they're going to get that from the secular media, but how do they relate that to their faith? How does that fit in with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How does that fit in with what Scripture teaches? And then how do we react when a Harvey hits Texas, or the week later another big hurricane will hit Florida, or wildfires in California in the month of December, proportions that are apocalyptic, not from a Hollywood movie set either, but that is our world. That's the reality that we're living in today.
I know that we as a ministry are having learned how to be more responsive to those immediacies domestically, because our listeners know us to be a very internationally focused ministry, and that remain the case because we want to bring the world to us here in the West in ways that they probably wouldn't get from other sources, and do that on a reliable basis. So we are committed to a timely bringing of that world knowledge of the world body of Christ, the kingdom around the world. So that's our primary focus. But it does not mean that we don't care about what's happening around us here locally. And so I know the challenge will be upon us to be more timely in those kind of things. But I am convinced that we live in reactionary times.
Yes.
The media, even Christian media, is constantly knee-jerking. And I'm not trying to pontificate here myself either, but I just notice that there's an awful lot of what seems to be a well of anger that just wells up every time something goes wrong in the world, and then the church yells about it for a while. I don't want to be about reacting to things. I do believe that the Holy Spirit has a response to every circumstance, and it's not always a quiet response. Sometimes it really is deeply and profoundly emotional. But I do believe that the baseline of peace and joy are what we're shooting for more than the response of anger and happiness. So you've done a really good job, Charles, of guiding that.
Well, I think, Bram, I look to Compassion Radio as this concept, which Norm Nelson was so good at, of traveling around the world, discovering what is the Lord doing in other places. Mm-hmm. And I think in the light of history, if you could look at the church in the United States of America, what will go down in history, I'll use the old Christian word, as the Lord tarries, but if the Lord doesn't come back again in the next 10 years, 50 years, whatever, what will American Christianity in the 1990s and then in the early 2000s, what will it be known as? Yeah. And I fear it will be known as a people group who had proclaimed their faith in Christ but had forgotten their first love and had forgotten the idea of the Great Commission. And I don't want to die and go in front of the Lord and be asked, why didn't you think about taking the kingdom to other places? Yeah. And not just be self-satisfied where you are. And that's the comfort zone of living in America.
Yes, it is.
And it's, as yet, doesn't seem to be going away. And then the other thing that surprises Christians around the world when I travel is how intertwined the politics of an American Christian has become with their faith. And the two need to be separated because the two are not one and the same.
I feel the same thing with every issue we address, because we'll get these profound letters of thank you for finally opening up my mind to this issue from a biblical but more than that, a spiritual perspective that the Holy Spirit is bringing life to us to understand these people need us and that God wants us to participate in something that we have not been doing yet. And then at the same time, we'll get mailed back people saying, I can't believe you spoke against this person or this thing or this agency. We're not speaking against anybody. We are absolutely speaking for the kingdom. But it feels like that. And it seems to me like surgeons were having to untangle these muscles that have grown around nerves. And in doing that, the nerve feels very yanked on. But it's the only thing that's keeping us connected to the Holy Spirit. So we have to do some uncomfortable things or say some uncomfortable things sometimes as good medicine, as a way to identify, as you said, the difference between the spiritual and the political. And I do think it's going to be the challenge that you and I face in the next few years, especially to not speak against things, but speak for the body and for what God's doing in the life of His church, His way, in His places.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bram, my own personal mission that the Lord has given me just the last 5 years or so is to shine the light of what's happening with the gospel, the growth of the kingdom in other places that most American, even American Christians, don't think about too much, maybe don't even care about so much. But that spotlight of what's happening with the gospel in other places, whether it's Iraq or Cuba or before that China or when the Soviet Union fell that many listeners would recall, all of that should be an encouragement to us where we live in a day in a land of cushy Christianity. And so living on the edge, I think, is a call that every Christian, if you're truly following the Lord, I think that's a call that we have. So shining that spotlight elsewhere shines the spotlight of the gospel into my heart, and then I want to be able to shine the light of the gospel into the heart of listeners. And now I'm preaching to you, Bram, and I don't mean to do that.
Yeah, it's well, we're preaching common cause here, which is marvelous. Now, we talk about being out on the edge or the far corners of the globe where God's doing His work, but we travel there, so we experience it, but we don't define the edge. The Holy Spirit does. And we find that wherever He is doing His work, His coattails are still stirring up dust. Mm-hmm. And our job is simply to go chase those coattails and find out what He's doing. Mm-hmm. And not be afraid of getting dusty in the process. So our particular focus being more international means that we're more dusty, I suppose, than many American missions or programs would be that are based here in the States all the time.
And unfortunately, due to time constraints, we're going to have to hit the pause button for now. But we'll be sure to pick up the conversation between Bram Floria and our special guest, Charles Morris, on tomorrow's Compassion Radio. Don't miss the conclusion. As we wind things down for today, let us turn again to the sage wisdom and counsel of our former president and host, Norm Nelson.
This is Dr. Norm Nelson. I've got a personal word for you. What exactly is Compassion Radio? Well, you know, I love to answer that question. Compassion Radio is, of course, a thoroughly Christian radio program. But it's also more than a radio program. It is a ministry, a boots-on-the-ground ministry. That is, it serves the spiritual and material needs of people. In carrying out its ministry, it seeks to be obedient to the call of Christ to share His gospel and His compassion with the neediest people in the toughest places on earth. His heart is always with the poor, always with the needy, always with the spiritually hungry. My friend, right now, as we approach year's end, we need your financial support. But you know, we depend 100% on listeners like you to carry out our calling. And in a very real sense, this is your ministry. Whatever is done through Compassion Radio is what you make possible. I'm asking you, send your best gift today. It is tax deductible, and Compassion Radio is a member in good standing of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's important because that certification is your guarantee that we meet the highest standards of financial integrity. Thanks so much, my friend, for standing with us here at Compassion Radio.
Friends, a hallmark of this ministry for over two decades is our annual God's Word for China project. It's far and away our most popular project, and it's fairly simple to understand why. The church in China continues to grow at an astonishing rate, around 20,000 a day. That's around 7 million new believers a year in China.
Every year, Compassion Radio partners like you play their part in helping supply the booming church with the Bibles they need to train the millions of new converts. We'll send absolutely as many of these Bibles as we can this year as you enable us to. We hope to send thousands and thousands of new Bibles through your above and beyond giving. Our in-country partners can print and deliver these rugged Chinese language Bibles for as little as $6 a piece. How many Bibles would you like to send to the fastest growing church in the world in China? For your gift of $25 or more to our God's Word for China project as we close out 2017, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Whether you hang it on your Christmas tree or find another special place to display this unique piece of art, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.